National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History Number 2. My name is Marvin Herzog, and my respondent's name is Jane Haskell. This is Tuesday, April the 12th, 1994. Jane, are there any anecdotes that you would like to tell us about during your experiences in the art world?
Well, I have one that's rather peripheral to the art world, but after my mother's death, my father came to visit us in Pittsburgh, and during one of his summer visits, he only came in summer because he couldn't handle the climate in the winter, and he lived in Florida, and he came one summer and he took sick, and he was in cardiac care at Montefiore Hospital. And while he was there, he looked around at the bare walls, and he said, "I would like to make a gift to the hospital of some of my pastel drawings, because I think patients would like something to look at on these bare walls." And so when he had retired from his jewelry-making profession, his business, he was doing a lot of work in pastels. He would copy famous impressionist masters or something that appealed to him, and he did some very nice work. So he made a gift to the hospital, which they were very happy to accept. And then he was interviewed by Beverly, what is her name? She was working on the Jewish Chronicle at that time, and she came here and took a picture of my father and interviewed him and ran an article in the Chronicle about his gift to Montefiore Hospital. I don't know, since the transition, whether his paintings are still at the hospital. I have not found out. But he must have given it somewhere between one and two dozen pastels to Montefiore.
They were undoubtedly very grateful.
They were at the time. Now that it's part of the university, I'm not sure what's happened.
Jane, you mentioned a little while ago that some of your work was in the Pittsburgh subway.
Yes.
I'm interested to know what the nature of it was, whether it's still there.
Oh yes, of course it's there.
And where it is and how you did it.
I exhibited at the Pittsburgh Plan for Art in 1981. I did a one-woman show on the main floor in a gallery that was approximately 60 by 40 feet, and the ceilings were about 11 feet in height. And I scaled all my paintings for that exhibition area, and I had some pyramidal sculpture forms on the floor so that it wouldn't look barren. And those paintings were very simple, colorful paintings to which were added neon. And I was interested in the interaction between the color and the light, and the way in which the light from the colored neon tubes would change the color on the canvas, so that the canvas was really flat color, like the color you see on that canvas on my wall. And the reason I became interested in this was that I had been doing some work with etched plexiglass and fluorescent light, and I was trying to solve a problem. After Ann died, I created a light harp, and I was trying to use a sheet of plexiglass with etched lines to create the idea of the strings of the harp, and it was not very successful. And my studio companion, Lois Kaufman, said, oh, why don't you try neon? I was fooling around at that time with fiber optics, which I never could succeed at that time in working with. It was not emitting light along the length of the fiber or cable, but it was coming out at either end for either medical purposes or the transmittal of messages, and it wasn't being used for an art form in that way. So I was not successful in the use of fiber optics, and so I tried to make a light harp with neon tubes, color-coded, strings of the harp were color-coded for the octave, and I color-coded the neon tubes to correspond with the color-coding of the octave of the harp. And I made what I considered a very successful piece, which is now in the collection of Skidmore College. I then made a second edition of the light harp several years later, and that is now in a private collection in New York, the home of a friend of mine. At any rate, that was my first attempt in neon, and it was in an exhibition at the Pittsburgh Plant for Art, to backtrack a bit, in 1979 when I showed most of my work with plexiglass and fluorescent light. When I continued to work in the neon after the 1979 exhibition and developed several canvases with neon that I showed at the Pittsburgh Center for the Arts, and as I walked into the exhibition, it was a group exhibition where one of the paintings was being shown, and as I walked in, it had been hung at the end of a dark corridor. And the entire corridor was suffused with light from the neon tube that was attached to the painting. It was a shaped canvas. And I realized that the color of the light was transforming the environment. And it was this that led me to do the 1981 show at the Pittsburgh Plant for Art, in which I had very dim ambient light and mostly relied on the way that the neon light attached to the canvases was affecting the color of the canvas and the total environment of the gallery. And it was on the basis of this exhibition and the slides which I made from the work that I received my subway commission, because when the subway was being built, the art committee headed by Carol Brown, who was then with the County of Allegheny, was looking for both local, regional artists and nationally known artists. And in the development by the architect, for the Steel Plaza station at the U.S. Steel Building, they were using glass block, and they specifically wanted artists who worked in light, so that my work was particularly appropriate for that station. So I was selected to do a preliminary drawing, and I worked very closely with the architects in developing my design for the Steel Plaza station. It's about a 5,000 foot glass block series of walls on either side of the tracks, and the configuration is a V. And I decided that because the configuration was a V, that it mirrored the downtown configuration of Pittsburgh in the Golden Triangle, and that the glass block walls could effectively be the river boundaries. And we do have an underground river. And so I thought the reflection of light and the changing patterns of light in the glass block could reflect the changing light of the waters as they flowed past in downtown Pittsburgh, which is why I call the installation Rivers of Light. And I worked in painted aluminum panels and neon behind glass block.
And you had to be on hand there, that is, you couldn't carry this work into the station. You did the painting on the then.
I did not do any painting myself. I did not do any of the physical work.
Oh.
I did the planning of the design. My work was incorporated into the general contract that was let out for the finish of the station. The glass block was part of the finish of the station. The aluminum panels were part of the finish of the station. And I provided the quality of the paint and the color scheme for the painting of those aluminum panels. I supervised their painting in the shop where they were painted. I supervised some of the installation and some of the installation of the glass block to make sure that it was going in according to my preconceived design. And then there were areas in which my neon subcontractors, and that was not part of the general contract, that was my part of the work, and I hired neon fabricators to fabricate and install the neon where I had specified it to go in. I actually was given a glass block wall that was installed in my studio so that I could experiment with the way the neon and the painted aluminum panels were going to look behind the glass block before I completed my final design.
Now these, this artistic creation is now on view, is it not?
It's
at the Steel Plaza.
It's at the track level of the Steel Plaza station. On three walls, the north wall has about a 32-foot glass block wall, and then there are the longitudinal walls on the east and west side of the station that contain my design. On the mezzanine level is the work of Kathleen Mulcahy and Ron Desmet, who were also regional artists given commissions for the Steel Plaza subway. And the architect for the finish of the station was Chelly Flynn. The engineers who designed the basic form of the station and were the ones responsible for the design of the whole light rail system, I believe, was Parsons Brinkerhoff. And I worked very closely with Ed Elliott at the time, who was in Pittsburgh. He was their chief architect at Parsons Brinkerhoff, and I worked with Tom Chelly of Chelly Flynn and with his associate, trying to remember his first name, as he's an Indian architect and his last name is Patel, Shashi Patel. S-A-S-H-I, Shashi Patel. The Heinz Hall Station...
that would be Wood Street.
Which is Wood Street, that's right, thank you. I was looking for the name. The Wood Street Station has the work of Sol LeWitt and Albert Paley, who are two nationally famous artists. And that station was underwritten not only by public funds and the Percent for Art program of the County of Allegheny, but was underwritten by Heinz, so that they were able to have a large budget for that station. And then in the other underground station, there are only three, The other underground station has the gateway. It has the work of Romar Bearden. It's a tile installation which portrays the history of Pittsburgh. Romar Bearden is a black artist who has died since he completed that installation. And I believe he spent some time living in Pittsburgh, so that he's also got a national reputation, and it's appropriate that his work is there.
So our stations have really become something of an art gallery.
Yes, and they're very well kept. Not only that, music is piped in by WQED so that we have classical music as well as art. I have noted no graffiti in the stations. When I do go there, they're well maintained. I talked to a maintenance man recently, and it's been almost 10 years since I completed the installation, and he's very concerned with the artwork being kept as it is. In fact, he found, because of the dampness, and as I said, there's an underground river, the Gateway Station in particular is subject to dampness because it's the lowest point. And the Romar Bearden tiles, some of them were coming off, were getting loose or discoloring, I'm not sure. And he asked me whom to call when I was asking him about the time clocks on my work. He said he wanted to take care of the Romar Bearden, and I told him to get in touch with Carol Brown, who is now at the Cultural Trust. And Carol, in fact, told me afterwards she's been in touch with the fabricator in New England of the tile work, and they are going to be remade and replaced so that the Romar Bearden will be in good repair.
Jane, have you done any exhibits or hangings in Pittsburgh? A recent date that have been publicized where all my, that is, one woman shows or anything like that?
I had a show recently, and I forget, I think it's about 2 years ago, maybe a little more, at Concept Gallery. And I had the whole upstairs gallery for my paintings, the window series. I also included in that show two fluorescent light installations. That I was experimenting with at the time because I had been given a contract to do a commission at Logan Airport in Boston. And I was undecided at the time whether I was going to use neon for the Logan Airport project or whether I was going to use fluorescent light, and I wanted to see how the fluorescent light would work by comparison with the neon. So I did several what I call windows of light in the exhibition at Concept, along with the window series oil on canvas. I have not had an exhibition in Pittsburgh since then, although I've participated in a number of group exhibitions in Pittsburgh since then. I have had a series of three one-person exhibitions in New York at AIR Gallery. That is, stands for Artists in Residence, and it was the earliest women's cooperative gallery that was established in 1972 in New York. I was very pleased to be able to become a full member of AIR, and it happened to me at a fortuitous time because I became a member just at the time of Ed's illness and was able to participate fully in the activities of AIR Gallery right after Ed's death, which was a wonderful way of not allowing myself to dwell on my past, but to be able to have something to look forward to and go on with my life. AIR requires New York residency, and I have a New York address because Ed's mother lived in an apartment in New York. After Ed and I were married, I think I said his mother and father moved to New York, and mother had that apartment until her death, at which time it became a condominium, a co-op. Ed and I bought it, and I inherited it at the time of Ed's death. So I have a second home in Manhattan. And that's been very nice. I've made some wonderful new friends in the art world there, as well as being able to retain my old friends and connections in New York.
Do you show in New York?
I've now become an adjunct member of AIR because I really have not had the time and energy to do shows there. I should be having one. In the normal cycle of shows, I would be having one right now. But after three shows in New York, which I considered successful from the point of view of their aesthetics and being able to make the statement that I wanted to make, I realized that the system just doesn't have room for me. And the gallery system in New York. And that I'm much happier working in Pittsburgh and working on commission and not worrying about exhibiting in a commercial gallery in New York, because in order to do so, you really have to live there full time and work at promoting your art, and I just don't have the time or inclination to do this. And even if one does it, the competition is very severe there. In the 1980s, I was told that there were, I think, 90,000 artists living in New York and probably about 1,000 galleries. So, or maybe more than that. I'm not sure how many are still there. But it's the center of the arts in the, not only in the United States, probably in the world. And more artists emigrate to New York. And it's a tough life. It's a tough existence.
If you could change the course of your life, the type of life that you've had in the past, in the art world, and in your personal life, which way do you think you might have gone?
It's awfully hard to imagine what the path not chosen would have revealed. I think in many ways, because I lived in Pittsburgh and because Sam Rosenberg's class was accessible to me, and because Walter Hovey offered me the opportunity to do my master's in art history at the University of Pittsburgh, I had an opportunity to grow in a way which might not have been possible had I remained in New York. I'm sure that having been married and having a family, I would have chosen suburban New York in which to bring up my family. That would have left me with far less opportunity than the urban area of Pittsburgh has offered me. On the other hand, as I said before, it would have been simply wonderful to have been able to study at Columbia with Meyer Shapiro or other prominent art historians, or Hans Hoffmann, a prominent teacher. I also think that having come to Pittsburgh and had to be on my own, I should say in quotations, because I wasn't really on my own. Ed and I were together and the family was together. But I didn't have the support of my family and his family, and I had to make a way for myself here in which I could express myself. And I think I was free to do that because I had left New York. I feel that I can take advantage of being a part of the art world in New York now through AIR and the resources I have open to me in New York now much better than I might have been able to do if I had had the continuity of living in that area throughout my entire life. I think Pittsburgh opened new worlds to me. I was not a particularly aggressive person. I was caught up in the matter-of-factness of a home and a family, and I'm not sure I would have gotten out of those bonds at all had I not been here. So, you know, who knows?
Jane, you mentioned your neon harp. That's in a collection at Skidmore College and also in a private collection. Please tell us how these pieces found their home.
Oh, well, I'm a graduate of Skidmore College, and I had made the light harp after my daughter Anne's death in her memory because she was a musician. Skidmore built a new music building called the Filene Music Building or Center, and I decided to put the harp, give it as a gift to the college, and Ed and I decided to give it to as a gift to the college in memory of Anne, and to have it asked that it be placed in the lobby of the Filene Music Center at Skidmore. And it's still there. I was there for my 50th reunion this past 2 weeks ago. It needs to be repaired again. It was damaged once, and it seems to have some damage again for some reason, and they are going to have it repaired. They are very faithful about taking care of it. The second version was created. It's a little bit different from the first. I decided that rather than enclosing it in an opaque wooden case, I would enclose it in a smoky plexiglass case so that you can see the transformers that are in there and see the wiring and the electrode ends of the neon tubes so that you can, in essence, see the heartbeat of it. This was created for one of the exhibitions in conjunction with the Three Rivers Art Festival. There was a light exhibition, and I was asked by Sandy Beach to contribute to that exhibition, and I made the second version of a light harp. That was sold. I took it to New York to exhibit it in the Gallery of Neon Art, and I didn't want to ship it back to Pittsburgh, and my apartment was being remodeled, so I asked my roommate from college, Betty Sampson Berenbaum, to house it for me while my apartment was being completed, and she and her husband Sam liked it so much that they decided to buy it from me. So the second version is living in Dr. and Mrs. Berenbaum's apartment in New York, which I also visit often, so I have an opportunity to see some of my work frequently. Betty, in fact, has a whole series of my work starting way back with an early collage.
What awards have you won, Jane, if any?
Yes, they're all in the resume that I think I gave you. I've won several prizes at the Associated Artists of Pittsburgh, in the Society of Sculptors show. I've been purchased by the Pittsburgh Friends of Art Public Schools twice. Several of my works are in the Carnegie Museum of Art. Several of them were purchased prizes from the Associated. Off the top of my head, I can't remember any others.
Well, did you do any designing, or such as cards or posters?
Oh, yes. Every year I had a Christmas card printed for Ed for his business purposes, and he would send them out to the salespeople and other people that he did business with. And I would get the leftovers and send them out to our personal friends and family. I started out actually as a commercial artist. I think I told you of the year and a half or so that I spent working for Helena Rubinstein. And in college, I majored in design rather than in painting or sculpture. So, many, many years ago when the children were young, and Lois Kaufman and I collaborated on a room that we did for the Ladies' Hospital Aid Society dance. We were in advance of our time, I believe, because we did a total environment. We papered the entire room in